Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
If you guys missed it, we just reacted to Rodney McLeod getting carried off the practice field. Just wondering if you have any sort of feeling on that. But I will say, phenomenal week to come this weekend of the NFL for all the different storylines. Nothing, I mean, no less here than in Cleveland, you know, the Browns playing for the number one pick or at least a top three pick.
I looked at the list of quarterbacks this week. Have you seen this? I can go through it if you want. It's going to be pretty bad. We have good games. There's a lot of good games to focus in on, and I want to focus in on those games, but I saw the list, and it was quite alarming. Bailey Zappe, Tanner McKee, Carson Wentz, Josh Dobbs, Jimmy Garoppolo, Spencer Rattler, Mac Jones, Joe Flacco, Drew Lock, Aiden O'Connell, Mason Rudolph, or Will Levis, could be either or, and then Cooper Rush or Trey Lance, Mitch Trubisky, although Josh Allen is going to start and play briefly in that game. And then Tyler Huntley, although Tua still has a chance to play. It is going to be quarterback vomit all over your TV screens.
Yeah, but you have enough. I mean, you've got Cincinnati versus Pittsburgh. Cincinnati's trying to win to get the last playoff spot. Pittsburgh's trying to win to stay in the divisional race, although that should be wrapped up.
So these are all Saturdays. The AFC North, everything is all on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And so our Sunday is really going to be, it's Lions-Vikings, and that's your everything.
Oh, I'm ready for that, yeah.
Which is an incredible game, if you think about it. Loser is going to be the first ever 14-win wildcard team, which is insane. And the first time since 1993, two teams have met in the final week of the season with the number one seed on the line. Like, we just don't see this in the NFL.
I will say I'm prepared for the very generic conversation about, the evergreen conversation when... I'm assuming it's going to be the Vikings have to go on the road to play the Buccaneers, who are 9-7. Should we reseed, or should divisional winners get a top four seed? The answer is still yes, by the way, but it's going to happen.
Well, it's in vogue because of college football right now.
Yeah.
So people are just doing the thing that they do sometimes, where they take what's happening in college football, and because it's prevalent there, they move it to the NFL, and it's really not the NFL conversation.
I feel like it almost happens every year because of the NFC South. Every year the NFC South is like 9-7 winner, and then there's like some 11-5. This year's extreme. I mean, 14-3 having to go on the road in the playoffs. I get it. It's still the anomaly. Most years I have no problem with like an 11-5 team who didn't win their division having to go on the road. 14-3 just feels like you got caught in the crosshairs. But I am excited for the Vikings. One, the Minnesota Detroit game, because I think Detroit's a better team. I agree with a lot of people that it feels like Minnesota is somehow getting to 14 wins is a little fluky.
Yeah.
In fairness, they've had a lot of that. I mean, with Kirk Cousins being 13-win teams previously. But, so I think Detroit's a better team, but they're just so ravaged by injuries.
That's it. The defense is just killed. I mean, you got. I mean, Kirby Joseph is still there. You got a couple players, but it's backups to backups on that defense. And I don't think people really truly understand the impact of how deep this. They have like 20 different guys that are actually on the list of can't play. It's insane. They've allowed 32.5 points per game over the previous six. Nick,
it honestly feels like whoever wins the AFC conference is going to be that's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, that's a fair take on it. Are you rooting for the Lions the way that some people do just because of it's like a down-on-the-luck franchise that now seems to be headed in the right direction?
Yeah, I mean, the Lions and Bills, to me, like, the worst thing could happen is a Lions and Bills Super Bowl.
Why? Because one of them would win, and then all of a sudden the conversation around them being a down-for-not team is just gone?
No, it's the other one. It's one of those teams having it, like, I identify with teams that have had down-on-their-luck, whether it's historically like the Lions or recent history like the Bills. Even in the four straight Super Bowl losses, like, yeah. I can't. That really would be like picking between my children. I don't think I could choose between the Bills.
I mean,
and
it would be America's Super Bowl if we had to put that all together. But for some reason, I feel like America doesn't like this Lions team as much as they once thought they did. And I don't know if Dan Campbell's just rubbing off on people. Dan Campbell and his willingness to just. I mean, he's the most aggressive head coach I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, but I think that's more media.
The man refuses to punt.
I think it's more media because I think it's really interesting. I hear a lot of fan. When I say fan, I mean like common NFL fan, not media members. God, that was a bad way to describe it. But I feel like fans defend Dan Campbell. They're like, no risky, no biscuit. We like that. But it is every time the guy makes any sort of decision, whether it succeeds or fails, it's, is he too risky? And it's like, I think you guys are off the mark. I think the average fan loves what Dan Campbell's doing. So I actually think the Lions.
But his setting though just seems like it's only stuck on always go for it, and there's no like if he ever has to make a decision, he just errs in the idea of I always go for it. I look at it like he just has no faith in the defense is why he's doing this though. Like he's openly telling everyone he does not believe in the defense. He did that 2 weeks in a row.
So I think there's some situational to this. I do think he's done some of the stuff recently because of that. I also think it's just who he is.
I mean, the onside kick with 10 minutes left down 10 was...
I mean, he even admitted that was just overthinking.
I mean, that was your brain just saying, I always go for it, and that's it.
So when it comes to Sunday, Lions-Vikings just takes a kick.
That's
I'm so excited
be, I mean, that's
that.
Got to be it. But it'll be a fun Saturday for us.
For Saturday, I think every team has something to play for, even if the playing for is losing, which I think makes it really interesting. Like, obviously, I'm interested in, can the Browns luck their way into the number one pick? And there is a difference between a number one pick and a number three pick. It gives you more options. I think you feel like that means just take a quarterback no matter what. I shouldn't say that. That's applying. But you've said, you know, you get a number one pick, take a quarterback.
Find one you love and take it. You're not right there.
So I love it from that standpoint. I'll be honest, even watching the Bengals-Steelers game, guys, I think I might be rooting for the Bengals.
Man, I watch all these games. I have no idea how locked in I'm going to be on this.
Saturday, I'm all the way in. Sunday, talk to me at 8:00.
I mean, yeah, I set my weekends towards the idea that I just watch football all day, every day anyway. So I know I'll be watching it, but how intently I'll be watching it has got to be the question there. So Saturday, you're all in, even for the second game. I mean, I want to see what Joe Burrow does.
You know why?
And I'm fascinated with Joe Burrow, always.
It feels dirty to root for that team from Northern Kentucky. And I do think Joe Burrow...
But I can't root for the Steelers.
Kind of a weird knob. But well, here, but so that's one part
why
of it.
Why is he a weird knob?
The regalia. Why,
the hair has been such bad branding for him.
I also think, here's the other thing, I also think he's arrogant. I think he's cocky. I think he's arrogant. And I think long-term in Cleveland, I've been predicting this for 2 years, so why stop now? Long-term in Cleveland, we're going to hate that guy. We just like him now because we haven't had to fear him yet. Just wait. Just wait. We're going to hate that
guy. I don't think he's going to be in Cincinnati forever, by the way.
That'd be great.
But I like him because he's openly discussing how bad of a franchise they are, and he's getting aggressive about how they've let him down. That's good. He's not just sitting back and saying everything is awesome.
I just want the Bengals as a 7 seed because it's more interesting. Like, no offense to the Broncos. That's a great story. Bo Nix is a gunslinger. That franchise seems to be pointing in the right direction. Good for them. Cincinnati, Joe Burrow getting into the playoffs in and of itself will feel like that is an element for potential chaos.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it just they need that defense to play better somehow.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
I take Joe Burrow serious and all that, but he's going to have to score 40 points. He's basically the Lions conversation, and they don't have the offense. They have a great offense, but the Lions' offense might be one of the best in the previous decade.
But I think with the Burrow thing, I think most teams in the AFC, you can squeak past if you're out there throwing for 40 points. So I think that can take you far in these playoffs. Like, let's just be honest, there is no truly, I mean, you've got a bunch of teams that are at the top, a bunch of 14, 13, 12, 11 win teams.
Yeah.
There is really no middle class or very little middle class like we're used to in either the AFC or NFC. But that being said, for as many teams that look good on paper, look dominating on paper, I don't think there's any true like, oh, avoid this other than Kansas City because they got Mahomes and because they've won the last two. Everybody else, like the Eagles, you can pick apart the Eagles. You can pick apart any team in the playoffs, even Kansas City. And I think that, so you throw in an element of chaos with Joe Burrow, I think that could be fun.
I think the Bills are approaching territory where I can't pick them apart right now.
Yeah, that's and in fairness, the Ravens defense does look better. In fairness, even the Eagles defense looks better. But I still think you can kind of pick them apart if you really want to.
We both ripped Fangio for a while there, and he's got that turned around now.
I never doubted Vic. I don't know what you're talking about. 216-474-0092.
Sirianni's still a dodo.
He's a massive dodo.
He's going to be a great exercise in how much of an idiot can you be as a head coach that still wins.
Ooh, I'm going to test out a take here. Real quick, though.
Why did that turn on my Siri? Something about what I said turned on. Oh, Sirianni.
Wow. Which Week 18 headlines are you most interested in? And that can be the doesn't deal with the Cleveland Browns. I think Sirianni is the James Franklin of NFL
stop
coaches.
It. You're turning on my Siri every
Sirianni?
Time you say it. How? Yeah. How do people?
Hey Sirianni.
No, stop it. It's acting every time you do it. Why?
Hey Sirianni, play Metallica.
Why is it? How do you host a show in Philadelphia and exist with that name and Siri being responded to every single time?
I don't know, but I'd love to. They have to have figured it out very early there. But no, so I feel like it gave you a good, like, a nice sports take. Sirianni is the NFL equivalent to James Franklin. Now, please react.
No, Sirianni has won a big game.
He
didn't win the biggest game.
Franklin's into this third round of the playoffs.
James Franklin never beats Ohio State. James Franklin never wins Big Ten titles. James Franklin wins the teams he's supposed to win against.
He's one win away from the national championship game.
And we all know he's not going to get there.
Well, yeah, but my point is, he has won. He's won two straight games.
What is the constant conversation around James Franklin?
I know
he doesn't beat Ohio State. He doesn't win the Big Ten title.
Why don't the last two games, the two playoff games, if I got to give everybody...
He was favorites in both of those games.
So, okay, but so do I not give Ryan Day credit for being a favorite?
He wins the games that he's the favorite in. That's always been the James Franklin thing. He never wins the game when he's actually the underdog. We're talking about James Franklin, not Ryan Day.
I know, but I'm switching. Does Ryan Day not get credit for the Tennessee game, though?
Because
they were favorites.
Of course he gets credit, but he doesn't get credit the same way as if he would have been an underdog in that game.
I feel like we're splitting hairs.
You split the hairs, not me. You asked me a question about James Franklin. I answered it.
I think we split them together.
And that's
fair. Makes the dream work.
But like Sirianni has won an NFC title game. That to me is bigger than any game James Franklin has won.
I mean, Sirianni's never beat Boise State. 216-474-0092.
Yeah.
Which Week 18 headline or storyline are you following most? I am right there with Lions and Vikings. I'm pulling for Detroit. I want this for Detroit. But I got to say, outside of the Browns getting the number one pick, Joe Burrow making the playoffs, just because I want the playoffs to always, when it doesn't factor the Browns in, if the Browns aren't involved, I want the playoffs to be chaos, and Joe Burrow can reign chaos just by throwing for 500 yards a game. The 5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.